Today, we are taking a look at God's Word, one of the parables, and we're mostly talking topically today. We're talking about spiritual gifts. People have different ideas when they think about God, the different kind of roles or characteristics he has. So one of the roles that people think of when they think of our God is a God who is a judge, and he's standing to give sentence upon us all. And that's partially true, but if that's your primary view of who God is, then it's the wrong view. Sometimes you can't help it, right? Because you kind of grow up with these certain ideas of who God is like, and so that's kind of our first default pattern that we go to when we think of God. But it's good if we can kind of see him more broadly in different kind of roles. So another role that some people kind of place upon God as an indulgent grandfather, or even Santa Claus, right? You know, somebody just brings you a bunch of gifts, doesn't demand anything. He just wants everybody to have fun. And so he really doesn't demand anything. And that's not really an adequate view of God, too. But there is something that's true about both of those, right? A little bit, a little kernel of truth. And there's a whole lot more, a whole lot of different characteristics. Well, the big characteristic that I want you guys to get today, that I think Scripture wants you to understand, is that God is a giver. He gives a lot of gifts. And we're going to talk about three big gifts, three areas, and then we're going to go into one of them and kind of break that down and learn more about that. The three great gifts that God gives me, one is eternal life. That's a huge gift. That's a fabulous future that we have to look forward to. And it even means a better life right now. The eternal life that we have in Christ, we have right now. Those who believe in him will never die. We will never perish. We will live forever. So we already have eternal life. That means we have a better life now than what we had before, and we're going to have life that's even better without the suffering and the pain and the weeping and gnashing of teeth and all that stuff when we get to be with him in heaven. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Secondly, we not only have eternal life, but we also have his Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says this, God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So it actually talks, this passage, about two things that we receive. It talks about love. We receive love that's been poured out into our hearts, and we receive the Holy Spirit. Now, it's not just any old kind of love. This is God's love. God's love is a love that is self-sacrificing, that does what is best for other people. That's the kind of love that this is talking about. In the original language, it's even a different word. They have three different words for love, and this is the self-sacrificing kind of love that's talked about here. And it says we get another gift too, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Remember how the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, and that gave them great boldness to speak the truth, even though they might have died? They might have been arrested. They might have been crucified just like Jesus. Yet that gave them the boldness to speak. What do you think motivates them to speak and risk death? It's love. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and so they so loved the people that they were willing to risk their life and to speak boldly of Jesus and his sacrifice, so that they would also have a place in heaven, so they would also have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you want to know how much you are being filled by the Holy Spirit, how controlled by the Holy Spirit you are, you only really have to measure one thing. How much do I love the people around me? How much am I sacrificing for the sake of those around me to do what's best for them? God's love is not something that you can do on your own. It's not a human response. It's not a natural thing to do. It is a God-given gift. It's God's love that's been poured into our hearts. And by what instrument, by what means, by what device? By a person, by the Holy Spirit, who also has been given to us. You know, when I was a real little guy, like some of these guys up here for children's message, there was a song that was popular. It went something like, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of." That song's all wrong. Anybody old enough to remember that song? Yeah, oh, lots of you. Okay, lots of good old people like me here. That's great. No, you're not old. Just more mature. More experienced. That song's all wrong. What the world needs now is not love, sweet love. It needs the Holy Spirit. That's what it needs. The world needs the Holy Spirit, and the love would flow out of that. It needs God's love, and the only way to get God's love is through the Holy Spirit. A third great gift that God gives is a special ability. So eternal life, His Holy Spirit, and a special ability. Romans 12, verse 6. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. Not only does God give us a place that we're eventually going to go, a promised land. Not only does He give us a person, the Holy Spirit, and with the Holy Spirit comes the other persons, the Father and the Son, who come along with them and dwell in us, that are present with us wherever we go, no matter whether it's good or bad, no matter whether our circumstances are easy or hard. But we also get special gifts, a special ability. Romans 12, 6, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. That means we have not only a place and a person, but a purpose to fulfill God's plan. So let's talk more about this last thing, this important gift of the Holy Spirit, this special ability, why it's important to know my spiritual gift. My gifts help show God's plan for my life, how to serve, how to be a vital part of His plan, of His purpose, of His mission. 1 Corinthians 12, 4-6. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is there. There are different ways of serving, and yet the same Lord is served. There are different types of work to do, but the same God produces every gift in every person. What that means is you're all different. You're all unique. God doesn't make copies. We talked about this last week. You are His masterpiece. He made you just the way He wanted you to. So quit wishing that you had somebody else's gift. Find out what your gifts are and use them for His purposes. Develop those gifts. You're different. You're unique. There is no one quite like you. So use that. Knowing my spiritual gift helps me know what God wants me to do with my life. If you are gifted in teaching, guess what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to be a teacher. If you're really good at organizing, guess what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to organize. If you're really good at leading, guess what? You're supposed to lead. If you're good at listening to other people, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to listen. If you're good at helping, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to help. Know what your spiritual gifts are, and then you'll have a better idea of knowing what you're supposed to be doing each and every day. Secondly, my gifts not only show me what I'm supposed to be doing, what God's plan is for my life, but it also shows my worth. It shows my value. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, "Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it." That necessary word is important. You are needed. You are necessary. God needs you. The Holy Spirit needs you. Jesus needs you. Word of Life needs you. Your family needs you. The people around you, your friends, need you. Your community needs you. If I don't use my gift, other people get cheated. Others get cheated. And if you don't use your gifts, then others that are around you get cheated. You know what that makes you? That makes you valuable. That means that you are important. You have worth. Your spiritual gifts show your worth. My gift is the power that God gives me to bless others. You all have a superpower. Many of you have more than one superpower. Every person in this room, and even the kids in the rooms behind me, all have a superpower. Everyone is a 10 at something. Not a 10 at everything, but you're a 10 at something. My gifts show my worth. Thirdly, my gifts are the key to joy and fulfillment in life. By the way, some of you are thinking, what is my superpower? Well, we're going to get to that. But here's the important part. Superpowers, you may not know yet because you haven't discovered them yet. Or you've discovered it, but you haven't developed it, so it doesn't seem like a superpower yet. Or you haven't used it, because that's really the proof of the pudding. That's how you know you really do have a superpower, is when you discover it, you develop it, and then you use it. That's how you find out you have a superpower. Let's hear from God's word in John 15, 8 and 11. You give glory to my Father when you produce a lot of fruit and therefore show that you are my disciples. I have told you this so that you will be as joyful as I am and your joy will be complete. You see, real joy doesn't come from worldly power, from popularity, or prosperity. Let me say that again. Real joy does not come from worldly power, popularity, and prosperity. Now, the world will tell you that, but that's not what gives you real joy. Where does real joy come from? It comes from living a productive life. It comes from living a productive life. Doing something that counts. Being a part of something that's bigger than yourself. Doing something that matters, that has significance, that makes a difference. But you can't do any of that by yourself. You need help. And it's kind of interesting to see that the Greek word for joy is the basis for two other words that we're speaking about today. Three words that in the Greek all have the same root word. When I live in God's charis, his grace, and use his charismaton, his gifts, then I have chara, joy. Then I have joy. See the relationship there, the similarity in those words? Grace, gifts, and joy. Same basic Greek root word. Joy comes from receiving God's grace, from being what he wants you to be, and doing what he wants you to do. That's what gives real and lasting joy. My gifts are the key to joy and fulfillment. So what does God want me to do with my gifts? Every one of you has at least one gift. Many of you have more than that. First of all, he wants you to discover it or them. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. If we're ignorant about something, then what do we need to do? We need to learn something about that topic. How do we learn something about spiritual gifts? How do we discover them? Well, first of all, I discover my spiritual gifts by examining my past experiences. When I look at what I've done in the past, how I've served, I need to ask myself, did I really enjoy doing something? What did I really enjoy in my past service? What gave me a sense of fulfillment? What did I stand back and go, wow, I feel really good about this? What seemed really easy to you? A lot of times we don't know what our superpower or what our spiritual gift is because it just comes so easy to us. We think everybody should be able to do it this easily. But other people, when they do try to do what you're so good at, they find it really hard. So it's the things that you find pretty easy that are often your superpower. And sometimes, don't wait for this because it may not happen ever. Sometimes people even tell you, hey, good job. We should say that to each other more. We should encourage one another because that will help them discover their gifts. And some people have a gift of encouragement or discernment, and they see that in other people. And you just need, if that's your gift, you need to go up to people and just start using that gift and say, I discern that you are really good at this. And let them know. And it's something to do with our kids, too, is to help them find their spiritual gift so they can have more joy in their lives, so they can have a life of more significance and make a difference, too. Secondly, not only looking in the past, but we also need to experiment, exploring new serving experiences. And we have ways to do that here at Word of Life. One is the SHAPE course. This is one class we encourage every single person at Word of Life to go through at least once. If you haven't been through it in a long time, we're going to find out that your spiritual gifts can change. Mine have over the years. And so you might want to do it again just to see if yours have changed, because they do. You add usually. You still keep what you had, but usually God gives you new ones as you explore new gifts. Now, We do use a spiritual gift survey, and if you're interested, I can give you a link to one online even before going through the SHAPE class. And those are useful, but they just are a snapshot of what you've already experienced. They really just sort of help you look at the past. They will not tell you whether God has given you a gift that you haven't even tried yet. And so that's why you need to experiment. I always encourage people to do 2.5 things in a church. One thing that you're really good at that you know, hey, this is part of my spiritual gift. I'm going to use my spiritual gift in this way. And a second thing that you have no idea whether this is a spiritual gift or not, but you're going to give it a try. And here at Word of Life, you always have permission to try something and say, no, that wasn't it. I need to do something else. And then the half thing, that's just part-time, you know, where you just sort of pitch in here and there for short-term kind of stuff. And there might be many little half things that you're doing from time to time. So examining past serving, exploring new serving. 1 Corinthians 14:1, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Take serving test drives. Test things out. See if they're maybe where God is leading you in the future. Discover your spiritual gifts. Secondly, develop it. Or develop them. 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. Some of you already know what your spiritual gift is or spiritual gifts are, but you're neglecting them. Why? Well, you know, you're busy or you're lazy or you're afraid. But I can tell you the main reason, it's because of Satan, the devil. The devil's always trying to tell us, hey, don't do that. You're too busy. It may not work out like you think. People might think you're trying to take over if you're trying to lead. Or people might think, you know, you're not capable if you're trying to help. Satan will do everything he can to keep me from discovering and developing my spiritual gifts. And you know what Satan's favorite tactic is? Is to get you busy doing good things. So that you're so busy with the good things that you miss out on doing the best things. The best things for you, the best things for God's kingdom. Because when you're doing what God really wants you to do, there's a feeling of flow. There's a feeling of, man, I'm in the zone. God is with me. He's helping me. And I'm functioning at peak capacity right now. And it's a really cool feeling. You'll miss that thrill by getting too busy doing good stuff. Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you. Now, Paul is writing to the bishop of Ephesus. Ephesus was one of the four largest cities in the then known world. It was certainly the largest city in what we now know as Turkey, Asia Minor back then. And this is an important guy. He has a lot of responsibility. And Paul, who's nearing the end of his life, is saying to this accomplished man, Timothy, fan spiritual gift God gave you? Well, it's already burning pretty hot, but it can get hotter still. You can make it better still. You can develop the gifts that God has given to you and make them work even better in God's kingdom. Just because I'm gifted doesn't mean I don't have to work at it. Think of the most accomplished athletes, business people, people you look up to. Think of those folks, and they are talented, they are gifted people, there's no doubt, but the most gifted are not the ones that are at the top of their game. In fact, some of those kind of think they're so talented they don't have to work at it, and they fall behind. It's the people who are talented and develop their gifts, develop their skills, develop their talents. Those are the people who are at the top of their game. They keep working at it. Discover your gift, develop your gift, and then thirdly, use your gift. Deploy your gift if you want to keep the D's going here. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you as a good manager must use the gift that God has given you to serve others. So imagine a football team, and they send all of their coaches who are all overweight and out of shape, they put them out on the field to play. And all the fans are calling the plays. And the players are sitting in the stands. They're going to get annihilated. It's not going to work. Why? Because they're not playing the roles that they need to be playing. They're not playing in the giftedness that God has given to them. They're not doing what they have been working on and developing all along. Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. He is the one who gave these gifts to the church, that is God. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers, those are the gifts. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So the people, what's your job? It's to work, to do God's work and build up the church. That's your work. What's my job as the pastor? It's to equip you to do that, to be the coach, to coach you to do that, to help you to do that, to cheer you on. So are you doing the work of the church? Are you building up the body of Christ? Some of you are. Many of you are. But even if we are using, we've discovered our gifts, we've developed our gifts, and we're using our gifts, could we improve in that area? Yeah, we could. Will you improve in that area? Will we improve in that area? Yes, I believe we will. And guess what? God will one day come to us and say, you've been faithful in little things. Now I will put you in charge of many. I will give you many things. Enter into my happiness, into my joy. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Remember how that parable of the talents, there was a man with 5 talents, and he put them to work and gained 5 more. And there's another guy who had 2 talents, and he put them to work and he gained 2 more. And there's one who was given 1 talent, and what did he do? He neglected it. He buried it. He didn't develop it. He didn't use it. He didn't put it to work. When the master came to him, he said, you wicked and lazy servant. You know what made him wicked? He didn't really know his master. He thought his master was only a judge, a cruel judge who demanded a lot. He had the wrong image. He didn't see him as a giver. God is a giver. God wants to give us more. And all that he asks is that you believe that he's a giver, that he gave his everything for you, that he gave you eternal life, the Holy Spirit, and these spiritual gifts. And now just use those spiritual gifts. See, if you really know God, then you're going to use those spiritual gifts that God has given to you for his purposes. If you know that he's a loving, giving God, then you're going to be a giving person too. He'll give you the power to do that. God has invested gifts in you. What are you going to do with that investment? I have 2 questions that I'd like you to answer. You don't have to do it now, but they're right there in your notes. Take them home and just jot down a couple things to help apply what God's Word has taught us today.